Height, and I have a very special show for you today. On the phone with me, I have a phenomenal jazz guitarist. I mean, she's been out there a long time making great music and just chopping it up left or right on that axe, and I appreciate her being here. Please put your hands together for jazz guitarist extraordinaire, Joyce Cooling.
Bud, wow, what an intro.
Oh, Joyce, my pleasure.
Gracious.
So how have you been, Joyce?
I've been good. How about you?
Oh, I've been doing great. You know, for a lot of the audience that haven't, you know, heard your music or know hear about what you do, give us a little background of how you started, what instrument you play, and so forth.
Wow. You know, I always hesitate when someone asks me that, not because I'm trying to be cryptic, but just because music always was in our family. We have a lot of musicians in our family, and holidays were spent with music. And my mom was a music teacher, so all our games involved music, and we always sang and harmonized and played instruments. We had a piano and a guitar in the house, and my mom played cello as well, and my dad had a saxophone, so we always had music in the house. Now, granted, it didn't sound very good in the beginning, but we all played a little, you know?
Yeah.
So, kind of always was.
Right.
If that makes sense.
No, it totally does. You know, one of the things that was inspiring, you know, about how you got into the business of music, and it's kind of similar to myself. I play guitar also.
I know you do.
Oh, yeah.
I track you. I've been tracking you, so you need no introduction to me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. But, you know, you're self-taught, and let's talk about some of the influences with guitar playing. I mean, there's so many to pull from, you know, out there.
I know.
So many different genres and diversities out there. Who are some of your major influences on the guitar?
Major influences, I would say. Well, a lot of my major influences are not necessarily guitar players. So do you want me to stick to just guitar players or just influences?
Influences in general, because music is universal, so whatever inspires you, you know, you could definitely pull from anybody and
yeah,
you know, implement that in an instrument. So, no, I hear you.
No, so guitar-wise, I would say Wes Montgomery, and always loved Wes, and Toninho Horta, great Brazilian player. João Bosco, another Brazilian guitar player.
Sure.
And just influences. Love Joe Henderson. Tenor saxophonist Joe Henderson.
Okay.
Loved his playing. And I love Peter Walton's compositions, and Hermeto Pascoal is one of my favorite all-time musicians. And my uncle, he was a great guitar player.
Yeah.
A lot of folks back in the day. And, you know, you have a couple weeks, I'll keep going.
Oh, yeah, but you know what? You know, it's funny, I love talking about influences. Couple of shows back, I did a two-part series of influences, and literally you can go for weeks and months and years of, you know, how everybody's impacted you from the creative side of music, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, James Brown. Cannot forget James Brown.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You know, and so it just, it's so varied, but it's all over the map. And it's not one particular type of music, or not even necessarily all American. Indian classical music and
sure,
all kinds of things. I don't know much about it, but I know I like it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. You know, I want to talk about, Joyce, your music. You know, I've been following you for a while, especially like 2004 is really when I got introduced to you, 2004. On your Girls Got a Play CD.
Uh-huh.
The very first song on there, I heard Expressions. I've heard that song thousands and thousands of times.
Uh-oh.
And it was one of my favorite tracks on there, and I just got to take my hat off to you on that track.
Oh, thank you. Sometimes when you say heard thousands and thousands of times, it's like, oh, and I don't need to hear it again.
Oh, no. No, you know, for me personally, songs that stick with me, I play it over, and because I'm a fan of your work, you know, it sticks with me where in the studio, I play along with you.
I do the same thing.
Really?
I do. And each time you play along or whatever, and I'm not saying necessarily to my track, but for me, you hear something different every time. Sometimes maybe you'll kind of play along with the string line.
Oh, totally.
Or the keyboard comp, or maybe it's the bass line that you know, it's, I always kind of, you know, there's always something new to latch onto or learn in a song.
It is, definitely. You know, I feel that your music, for me, it's really great learning tools. Not only from a melodic lead standpoint, but your arrangements, the chord progressions you put together with your compositions, it's always a good tool for me to go back and see the possibilities of where I can really take my own music. Because to me, I feel like you have a lot of, it's contemporary, it's got R&B, it's got a lot of soul involved, and they still got the jazz roots in there, but the arrangements are really creative where it sticks out with me. And, you know, again, I definitely pull from the CDs time and time again and play them along with you. And like you said, just the possibility of just playing along with the strings and, you know, maybe just doing some leads within the melody line itself. And, yeah, it's real inspiring, Joyce.
A lot of that, and the reason I'm going to interject this because it's just a fact. I have to take my hat off to Jay Wagner on that one, too, because we write together, so when, you know, he's as much a part of it as I am, and Jay is one hell of an arranger. He's really something else. I have a lot of ideas. Jay is one that, like, for example, he's brilliant with string lines. He's brilliant. That's
yeah.
Jay.
Oh, yeah.
I have a lot of, you know, I'm not sitting idly by, but I really have to, you know, pull Jay into this. He's great with it. So it's a two-person team there.
Oh, totally. No, I totally agree. You know, like I always talk about chemistry amongst artists and producers, but there's also chemistry amongst band members and musicians as
very
well.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you'll have an idea, but sometimes the communication to bring that out, and, you know, to paint a picture for the rest of the bandmates can be hard sometimes, but it takes the other person, your right-hand man, to kind of break it down in more in layman's terms so everybody else can understand it too. And you guys definitely translate that well with the track, so.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. I don't know what else I'd do. Good. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you guys, man, that's great. Now, has he worked with you on all the CDs or
all of
just
them.
Some of them, really?
All of them. My recording career started with Jay.
Wow.
It's, you know, I had been on other people's CDs.
Sure.
And, you know, had been either a guest spot or a supporting part on other people's CDs or maybe just putting down a little rhythm comp or something like that. But my own CDs, it's been Jay and me from the beginning.
Wow.
From the very beginning. And it still works. You sit down and you still have that chemistry. It's not worn thin.
And sure.
Really, really grateful for that because you know how it is. Not only just personalities can clash, but times change. With the passing of time, things change. One might want to go one way, one might want to go another way.
Sure.
You know, people grow musically in different directions.
Right.
But that has not been the case for Jay and me. Again, I feel lucky. We sit down and it's like a ping pong match, but...
Oh, wow.
It's like a... Not match like a competition, but it's like someone will grab an idea that... And I always describe it this way, and this description still works. Then the other guy will, you know, bat it across the net like a tennis match, you know, a tennis game or something. And then throw it into the other guy's
coach. Yeah.
And then they'll, you know, work it, you know, digest it for a while, and then they'll throw the ball back. And so it's a back and forth thing. And sometimes it works out where, I don't know, maybe I'll have a bridge. I go, hey, I like this hook. I got a hook.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm dumped on an A section, then I throw it to Jay. Okay, I think this will work. So sometimes we come to each other. Sometimes he'll start a song, and he'll have a big chunk of an idea for a song, and then I'll finish it. So it happens in all ways, shapes, forms that you can imagine.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I'm kind of glad you elaborated on that because that was one of the next questions I wanted to ask you is, since there's so many different ways to compose music, you know, I really don't like, you know, putting myself in a box where I have to start one way and a certain way. I mean, I might even start at the end of the song sometimes.
Exactly.
And
like you have a great, hey, wouldn't this be a great ending for a tune? And then build backwards.
Exactly.
No rules.
Oh, totally. You know, so you kind of just answered my question. You don't have the rules. And now, how are songs, are they presented to you, or kind of you and Jay just kind of work together from start to finish on the melodies?
Well, again, like I was saying, where sometimes I'll start and he'll finish, or he'll start and I'll finish, or sometimes we're sitting there side by side. I have my guitar in hand, or we're both at the keyboard. I play keyboards very badly, but enough to... very badly, nothing like Jay, but enough to get around to play a few little things and block out a melody or something like that, and some chord changes. So sometimes it's the two of us at the piano side by side, and it's just back and forth and back and forth, and no, it should go here, okay, yeah,
sure,
it can go here. So again, every way that you can imagine, it happens.
Nice.
The collaborative process for Jamie.
Nice. Like I said, it has to, because honestly, I can listen to all of your CDs, Joyce, and I can really pick and choose each song on the album that has a different meaning, and it feels different when I listen to all of it. I never get the same style. I never get the same appeal on different albums, maybe.
Uh-huh.
But the flow of your album, it's so versatile. It's really a mood album for me. You know what I mean? And it does different things to me when I listen to it.
And, that's great.
Oh, yeah, seriously. And it's really consistent on all of the albums. One thing I definitely want to talk about, your guitar tone. I really want to understand and explain to me the signal processing you have on your guitars. It's probably one of the best guitars I've heard on any jazz album, sonically.
Good gracious.
It's really thick, and man, hats off to you there.
Wow, the reason I'm saying good gracious is because it's so basic. I'm not an equipment junkie. I'm kind of a plug-and-play girl.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
I don't like fooling around with a lot of equipment. It gets me cranky.
Okay.
You know, I just want to get to the music. So on some songs, if I'm playing, like, say, for example, a Strat, say it's more of a kind of slinky little snap string kind of tune or whatever, I'll just take my Strat and go right into the board with nothing.
Really?
I swear. And then other times, I have an amp set up, and it's just a, you know, a Fender tube amp, an old Fender. And it's just set up, it lives in the studio, just there all the time, with the mic in front of it, and you know, plug in and call it a day. It really, that's why I would say good gracious, because it really isn't, you know, some players really have that beautiful tone thing, that really, like a Larry Carlton.
Right, George Benson, Norman Brown, Benson, yeah.
Beautiful sound, and some people are very much into their equipment. You know, I know, like Robin Ford, really. You know, he's got this beautiful sound. You know, they work at their tone, and of course, when I say work at their tone, those guys don't work at much of anything anymore. It's in their hands. They just have beautiful. They're just such great players.
Oh, they are. Yeah.
So, but you know what I mean? Where people who take time to understand equipment and play with equipment and try different amplifiers and try... I'm not one to do that and never have been. It's not my favorite part of music at all.
Wow.
I do it a little bit just because I have to. Maybe also, I do use a lot of different guitars.
I was going to say, I've been to your website and I've just been looking at all the custom guitars that were made for you and what you use and the pickups on it. That's probably a combination of the good pickups you have and your converters and your mixing, your engineering on the albums that really make it stand out. So talk about some of the custom...
And the mixing engineer too, Spud. I mean, you have to give credit to them and also to, you know, we do our own recording, so it's us recording, but the mixing engineer, you know, they always sweep things and add their little secret sauce at the end. And,
sure.
And also, too, I don't use a pick, so...
Yeah, I was going to talk about your finger style playing. Now, that's really intriguing to me, because I'm a picker all day.
I have
picks,
huh?
Different gauges of picks for different purposes, so, you know, knowing that you don't use a pick, and... The levels that you're able to bring out sounds like you're using a pick. I was like, man, she's using a heavy gauge or she's using a light gauge? Maybe with some thumb?
Well, heavy gauge strings.
Okay.
My strings are pretty heavy. So that might be what Yeah, I'm jealous of you. I always, you know, I wish I had that facility with pick, you know. It's just such a nice, sleek sound, you know, to have a pick. It's just...
Sure.
So, you know, everybody, I guess, you know, I'm in awe of you using a pick so proficiently. That's something I could never do. I had a pick in my hand, and as I said on my, if you were on the website, I kind of pulled a sentence from this where I literally, Spud, could not feel what string I was on. And I kept missing, and I couldn't feel where I was, so I just went, ah! And out of frustration, just threw the pick down, just continued with my fingers, and never went back.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. I mean, you play so well. I know Stanley Jordan, I don't know if you're familiar with Stanley. He's another one that doesn't use a pick. He does a lot of fingerstyle playing, and man.
The tapping and things like that. He's really unique.
Oh, yeah.
Style, doesn't he?
Oh, yes.
Yep. We're all... You see, every guitar player knows Stanley Jordan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I feel they should anyways. I mean, if you're not, I mean, then you're kind of boxing yourself in again.
And again, not personally. I mean, his playing.
Right. Oh, yeah.
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 I've never met Stanley Jordan.
Well, he's a friend in my head anyway, so among you and every other mentor I got, you guys are all friends to me in my head, so.
I hear you.
I know you through your music, so. Now, you mentioned that you're doing your own type of recording. What platform are you on? Are you on PC or Mac, Pro Tools, Logic, or?
DP. Still use
Digital Mac Performer, really?
Part DP, yes, because of the sequencing.
Okay.
So that part is really nice. But then, you know, more and more, you know, you can dump things into Pro Tools to mix and
sure.
things like that. So it's, right now it's kind of a conglomerate mess, and we're looking to convert over. But, boy, the sequencing capability of DP. And I know Jay is so comfortable with it as a keyboard player. And again, I keep bringing up the sequencing capability. That's what makes DP hard to let go of, but
sure.
more and more, the two are crossing over. Kind of like with computer, remember it was like four windows, it was like, okay, you Mac or you PC? You
know? Oh yeah, yeah.
Camps, two distinct camps.
Yeah, totally.
Now it sort of gets blended over with the bridges, that gap, that the bridges that connect the two worlds. It's kind of like that.
No, yeah, I totally understand. You know, I played along around with DP a couple years back before I crossed over to Mac, getting my feel of crossing over from a PC to a Mac, and, you know, I ended up with Logic Pro on the Mac.
I know, a lot of people love Logic Pro, but I want to clarify, we're on a Mac, but
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah. It's still a Mac, but a lot of people like Logic Pro, and I've seen some incredible things that you can do with it. I think they're all good. They're all good. And a lot of times, but you find that what ends up becoming the status quo is the one that most people use. So it's not that it's necessarily better or worse than another system. It's just the one that everybody knows. So you all
totally.
Do it so that you can, you know, pass things off from studio to studio, and everybody has a common ground.
Right.
So Pro Tools has sort of become that common ground.
It has. And a lot of it, too, is media hype.
It is.
Yeah, because I'm a Pro Tools user also, cross between Logic Pro and Pro Tools. And, you know, I do more file sharing and converting in Pro Tools. Like, if someone sent me a file, I know they're in Pro Tools. I just want to be able to have the accessibility to open it up.
That's it.
But I can still open it up in Logic Pro 2 as an OMF.
That's
you know, so, you know, having that, again, there isn't a right or wrong format. I really believe it's the man behind the wheel that's really controlling his style of editing. And like I said, for MIDI tracking, Digital Performer is great. And Motu makes really great stuff, too. They really make some great preamps. So, you know, they're really on top of their game. So, yeah, hats off to Motu.
Yeah, and so really it just becomes a common language so that we can all converse digitally and musically and whatever. So really, that's kind of the bottom line.
Yeah, totally. You know, this past weekend, I was getting ready to interview you, and I'm sitting there going through my emails, and then I'm turning on DirecTV listening to XM Satellite, and your song, Grassroots, came on.
No, sir.
I was like, don't tell me that's Joyce Cooling, and you know, I'm just getting ready to prepare for the interview, and that's a really hot track, Joyce.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, Grassroots is... I love all your songs on the album, but that one so far, that's the one that's been sticking
that's
with
your
me.
Favorite one off
yeah.
The new CD. Uh-huh.
Yeah, just because it's more my style
uh-huh.
of production and composing, and
sure.
you know, I definitely vibe with it so well.
Oh, that's fantastic. And that's the idea with the CD. You know, a little something of all the things that we like, so that there's hopefully something for everybody on there, and maybe someone else would gravitate toward another track. So that's good. That's good to hear.
Yeah, definitely. You know, you definitely got freedom of expression on the CDs when I listen to it. As a player, I have to ask, because I know you have experience in the studio and live, which do you prefer?
Oh, wow. They're so different, and I like them for different reasons. I love and hate them both for different reasons.
Yeah.
Some of the reasons off the top of my head. Okay, live performance. Love it because it's direct to the audience, and you've got that energy and that you know, that anything goes, and
yes.
you know how anything can happen on a live stage. You're picking up feedback from the energy of the audience, and that's weaving itself into what you play and the way the songs go down. So love all that. Love all that. We've all been on stage where the sound is horrible.
Right.
Through a thing, it's a mess on stage. Everything. Oh, you have a terrible monitor mix, and then I have to, you know, then it's tough to, you know,
sure.
not as fun. Trust me, if you don't have, or you're playing, and maybe you know, it's something with the weather. You know, pouring buckets out there, or whatever.
Right.
Or you know, so there's love hate with both. And then studio, again, love hate, and I'm being dramatic when I say
sure.
hate, but
oh, yeah.
you know, love where, wow, you can really try some different things. You can layer things, you can
make mistakes.
working. Let me put this guitar down, and let me pick up an acoustic steel string and try something with this.
Right.
No, that's not it. Let's try the nylon. Let's pull this guitar up, and so you can try it, and then you go, oh. This track calls for nylon, you know, and then you can
yeah.
kind of get into your nylon guitar on this one, and then pick up another guitar, and you know, or you can pull different sounds, and you can bring in people and layer things. All that's a beautiful creative process that I thoroughly enjoy.
Oh yeah.
Hate? Oh my goodness! I'm sure down there, and all hell's breaking loose. You know?
Yeah.
There's the buzz that will not quit. You know, or your computer's crashing over
sure.
some crazy thing, then it becomes just a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
So, really, I can't answer it like, I love this, I like this over this. It's good, bad about both.
Oh, yeah, totally. I agree. You know, I just wanted to see the difference because, you know, you're playing, you play live. When I hear your CDs, everything sounds like it's in a live setting. You know, I mean, sonically, we know it's recorded in a studio, but, you know, the freedom of expression on your CDs, I definitely get the live play when I hear you play on your
oh,
CD.
Good.
Yeah, so, you know, I had to ask, like, man, I bet she's really, really into the live playing because it sounds, it's in live form as one band when you're playing, so.
Thank you. You know, and that's the spot you want to hope to get to in the studio. You can't always get there on every tune. I try, and sometimes recording spirits are with you, and sometimes
sure.
you have gremlins. So, you know, you always go for that flow. Do I achieve it every time? No. And sometimes, especially if you have a time constraint, like your label wants the CD or whatever, even if you have gremlins going on and you're not at your creative best, you've got to move through it and get it done.
Oh, yeah, totally. I totally agree.
So, good. I'm glad it comes across. And you always try for that freedom. And a lot of times, you're down there and down the studio, and you're not feeling it.
Right.
Hopefully, you know. Sometimes I'll try a few takes, and it's not happening. I'll just hang it up, and I'll go for a walk or do something, or
sure.
And then come back to it to try to get to that free place.
Right.
As often as possible.
No, I totally agree. So what's next on play? Well, we have on a play for Joyce Kuhn. What do you have in the works now? I know you're on tour, been doing a lot of concerts and playing. So what do we have next?
What do we have next? We're winding those down. On October 24th, we'll be in San Antonio.
Nice.
And I love that city. It's so cool. And we're doing, it'll be our first kickoff concert. We call it Music for the Mind. And what it is it's a regular concert. I mean, it's not a platform for anything. But a portion of the ticket sales and our merchandise and CDs go to NAMI, which is the National Alliance on Mental Illness.
Yeah.
And which makes it fun. It kind of puts another edge on why you're doing a concert. So that's a really cool thing. I'm excited about that. And that is going to be a concert series. We're going to take that around the country. And this will be our very first one. Then we're winding down live playing for the year, and we're going back into the studio. We wrote a holiday tune and released it last year, and we've got another couple in the craw there in the oven, and we're going to release one again. You never know what's going to happen in the studio, but
oh yeah,
we'll release another one this year, and we'll re-release the holiday tune. It's called "It's Feeling Like Christmas."
Nice.
And we'll add to that, and so we'll put that on Amazon and iTunes this year. And I'm feeling, it's autumn. I love to write. It's my most creative time of year, I would say. And I love to write and kind of tuck in and record. And we have a lot of tunes that have been, like I say, in the oven, and they're ready to, they're ready to cook now, and we're ready to take them out of the oven and put them out there. So that's what's on the horizon.
Beautiful. Well, Joyce, it's been a pleasure speaking with you, ma'am. I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your knowledge and expertise with me and your experience. And you definitely have a spot here with the Producers Corner anytime, and I would love to have you back on the show.
Oh, it's fun. Thank you. It was really fun talking to you, and it's nice to do an interview with another guitarist.
Yes.
That's a very rare experience. I don't know that I've ever... Well, maybe once or twice, but
yeah.
It's very, very rare.
Oh, no, man, yeah.
Nice being able to, talk guitars and from a guitar player's point of view. The questions you ask are different. You're kind of all inside the instrument, so that was really great.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm coming to you seriously as a humble fan, and really, I enjoy your work, and please, please bring up more music for me to listen to.
I will do my best, and you do the same.
All right, well, you have a great week, ma'am.
Same to you, but thank you so much for having me on the show.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye.
And thank you again, Joyce Cooling, for coming on the show and chopping up with me here on the Producer's Corner. It was really inspirational, man, having her as a guest. Again, I'm a huge fan of her work, so sitting down one-on-one talking to Joyce Cooling was really inspirational. So for the remainder of the show, I want to let the track play out that's currently playing. This is called Grassroots, and this is off of her newly released CD, Global Cooling. And there's so many other tracks on there you guys really need to check out, and it's on her Global Cooling CD. Definitely pick that up and add that to your library of good music, man. And to hear my past interviews and future interviews, hit the website up, www.spudtootight.ning.com. And until next time, you guys keep it tight. Peace.